early on in the summertime. It's a big time, mainly due because of the weather, the good weather we have, for a lot of projects to get done. And one of the ones, of course, is the Rhododendron Realignment Project. But I've got Mike Miller in here with me today on this edition of Our Town to talk about some of the projects that the city is involved in. And summertime really is kind of it's kind of a two-edged sword, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's a busy time for us because of we have that weather window to do a lot of projects versus late fall, early winter when we have the rains. It really bogs down what you can actually do. We do a lot of projects in the wintertime also, but it's paving operations, anything doing with streets is more difficult in the winter because of all the rain and the water that we receive.
And the temperature, too, does that make a difference?
Sometimes it does, especially when you're looking at, you know, paving operations. We do get some very nice weather, say, in January, February, where it's above 55 degrees. It's dry, and we have, you know, a little bit of a window. We cannot do paving operations when it's, like, below 55 degrees and it's been wet, especially the day before. We have to have that dryness in order to actually do the paving work.
But I know, like on the 9th Street project,
yes,
you know, it was so temperamental because you had to coordinate everybody that had to do the work with the small window that
yes,
you had.
Absolutely.
And because of that, it kept getting pushed back.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's the danger of doing it in the wintertime, too.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Correct.
So this summer, I mentioned the realignment project.
Yes.
Now, you're kind of probably just overseeing that, right? A lot of the work's being done by other entities.
Yeah. So we have a general contractor, K&E Excavating, that's the general contractor, the prime contractor on the project. And then they have some specialty subs, subcontractors that do the work, such as curbs and concrete work. Currently, we have the soil nail wall contractor out on site, and they're just starting that process. So they're starting to put in the soil nail retaining wall system, which will take quite a bit of time to do, but they're starting that work right now. So as far as utility work, so the water and sewer systems are complete. Overhead utilities as far as Central Lincoln PUD, I think it's about wrapped up. I know that they have all the new poles in place. There may be some, you know, some tie-overs and some additional electrical cabling that needs to be conducted. And then there's some coordination with CenturyLink and Spectrum. CenturyLink is now, what is it? It's not CenturyLink anymore.
Is it AT&T?
It's a different name.
Okay.
I'll think of it. Basically, your phone and your cable communications type things are, they have some underground work and they have some overhead work that need to be completed.
Is there a reason, I imagine cost is probably the big reason, that we didn't go underground all the way with everything?
Yeah, so cost is a huge factor, especially dealing with the overhead wires, with electrification. So these wires are, from what I understand, the power grid in the area, it's a little bit more than just distribution, but it's a very costly factor to put electrical cables underground.
Now, I noticed with the sewer and the water, it extended past 35th Street. When they do the repaving, will it include up to where they connected?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was in relationship to the sanitary sewer. So what they did was a different project, it's been a little while prior to the pandemic. So it was probably 6-8 years ago. We did a project where we upgraded the gravity sewer. So just north of Fairway Estates, there was a new sanitary sewer system installed that eliminated a pump station from Sand Pines. So Sand Pines West. So we eliminated that pump station, put in gravity sewer, and we came down to just north of 35th, where we ended the gravity sewer line and tied it back into the existing gravity sewer. So this project with the realignment went up to where that last manhole was located, because we're putting in, we're oversizing the system. So we already oversized it down to just north of 35th, and now we've taken it from that point and extending that oversized line down to the pump station, what we call, refer to as the Siusla Village pump station. It's off of Lilo Court that butts up against Rhododendron Drive. So we've increased the size of the sewer to take and account for additional sewage that could be coming from the north as the city expands to the north.
Well, I want to talk about more projects, but I wanted to talk about this too. So since we're on this subject already, of course, recently the city annexed the county park that's just north of Driftwood Shores there.
Yes.
So that they could have sewer and water, so that they could someday have maybe flush toilets and other amenities like that there. What is – explain to me. I understand what gravity versus pumping is. Mm-hmm. But explain to me, like, how far can a gravity system go before it needs to be pumped? How much room needs to be made? I mean, obviously there is a grade there that goes in, right, in order for it,
yes,
to be gravity fed. You can't have it level.
Right.
So how far can you go with a gravity fed system before you have to consider pumping it?
So it all comes down to topography and the depth of the existing system. So up there at Driftwood Shores, the pump station that we have up there, it's for the region. It's a regional facility. And when we look at extending sewer from that area, we know that we can get gravity, especially to the north for a little ways. But we're also dealing with the four dunes in that area. So when you look at, especially First Avenue, you look at Fourth, and there are some topography challenges because it comes up. I mean, there is a little bit of an ancient dune between 4th and 1st Avenue. So you're actually going up and over, which sanitary sewer, gravity-wise, we can do it. It's just it gets extremely deep. And how deep do you want to go? For an excavation of 20 feet, it's not possible with our sands. We'd be opening it up so wide. Even with going back to the Rhododendron Drive realignment project, the sewer was deep and we hit what was known as low sand, or this, what some of the locals call it, is sugar sand. Very super dry, very fine, and it runs like a river into the trench. And so it takes...
So you can't really hold it back.
You can't hold it back. They put in their trench boxes, to stabilize the trench, but they were also having to drive in steel plates down on the outside of those to hold back the sand, because the sand still wanted to filter in.
And then it could close in on the whole,
yeah,
the whole,
yeah,
thing.
So there's logistical problems with deep sanitary sewers in our area because of the sand and because of the groundwater table as well as we get up there. However, we've looked at that area. So for the county park area, they will be extending sanitary sewer. We have some pressure, or not pressure, but we have gravity sewer already available. So they'll be extending that to a point, maintaining that grade. And without actually looking at the master plan, we can get gravity sewer like out towards Klahani in that area. But there's also going to have to be a combination of some small lift stations installed because of how the system would work. You're working with the topography of the area. So you basically you're draining to a low point, lifting it up, eventually getting it back to the pump station at Driftwood Shores, where it actually goes into the pressurized system and is pumped essentially all the way back, well, to just north of Fairway Estates, where it breaks to gravity, goes gravity to the Siusla Village pump station, where it's pumped again, pressurized, and that pump system goes all the way back to the wastewater treatment plant.
How's the technology work from where it goes from pressurized to then gravity again? Is it just is it released in small amounts, or obviously it has to depressurize at some point?
Yeah, so basically the pressure system goes to atmosphere at a manhole. So we're not talking a whole lot of pressure, right? I mean, we're
how much pressure does it take to move sewage?
Right. So it depends. I mean, you know, in some areas it could be in order to get into the pressure sewer line itself, you may be looking at 30 to 40 pounds of pressure. But the actual, when we get to a point where we can break to gravity, we're not talking a whole lot of pressure. And then that pressure, once it gets to that point, it's not a constant flow. It's really when the pumps kick on and moves the material down. So it's
sort of like the Panama Canal of sewage. It's sort of like you have a series of lifts and then gravity and then pump and lift and gravity again.
Correct. Yes. That's a good analogy.
From all the way to where were there going to be at Driftwood Shores back to the city, along that line there, how many pump stations are there? Just two?
So currently how the system works right now, we have the major pump station at Driftwood Shores that pumps the sewer. It comes up to a pump station, what we refer to as the Fond View pump station, where it breaks to atmosphere and is repumped. So that's a point where we're repumping the sewer. We do have a pump station in Fond Ridge on the west side of Rhododendron Drive called the Bonnet pump station.
Is that Bonnet the little Way. Breakaway there in the
That's
in the
actually Fond View. Okay, that's Fond View on Rhododendron Drive. There's actually a pump station in Fond View West that pumps into the system. We have the new development, Stonefield, which is to the north of Fond Ridge. And they have a pump station specifically for their development that pumps into the system. And then we have several different small, like Jerry's Place, the RV Park. They have individual pumps to pump into the pressure sewer system. And then there's some other individual homes along the way also that are pumping into the system. Anyway, so it goes to atmosphere at Fond View, and it stays under pressure until we get down to 35th. We have other pump stations pumping into the line. There's actually two pressure sewer lines. Shelter Cove, we have a pump station at Harbor Vista Campground. So when Harbor Vista was annexed into the system, the campground was annexed in. We worked with the county and installed a pump station for their purposes.
So basically pumps east from there into the other system.
Yes.
Okay.
And then it continues to the south until it goes to atmosphere between, well, just north of Fairway Estates, and then it stays in gravity until it gets down to Sayusla Village Pump Station on Rhododendron Drive, and then it goes back under pressure and continues to be under pressure. And we have other pump stations. So Marine Manor has a pump station.
And this is all along that same
corridor? All along the same corridor, yeah. Yes. And then Wild Winds has a pump station. Green Trees has two pump stations that are at least two, if not three pump stations. There's a pump station up at 11th, there's a pump station at 9th Street, and then there's some individual pumps getting the system.
Is Public Works responsible for all those pumps, or is the individual housing area responsible for that?
So if they're truly a pump station, then the city is responsible. So we will take over maintenance for, like, Stonefield. We do the maintenance on the Fawn Ridge, the Shelter Coves, Mariner, Mariner's Village, all those pump stations.
But like Jerry's Place, it has
Jerry
their own,
Place,
they would be responsible.
They were responsible for their own. Yes, yes.
I know the average person out there is probably going, why are we talking about this? But I think the engineers out there are probably really fascinated by this, because I'm fascinated about the engineering that has to go in to get our stuff to where it needs to be in the treatment plant.
Yeah, it's coming from Central Oregon, where we're not dealing with sand, we're dealing with rock. And so depth is a big deal over there. a lot of different pump stations, and because of, and you look at Central Oregon and you go, gosh, you should be able to gravity everything. Well, you could. It gets down to the depth and going through rock. And so they do have a number of pump stations. And coming here, you would think the same thing. You got sand. Well, it's really easy to dig in sand. But it's, again, it's topography and depth, because you can't go as deep as you want. And you have water table also to deal with. So if we could wave our magic wand and redo the whole thing, we would have less pump stations. It's also a matter of how areas develop. We try to do our best to get gravity where we can. And then we rely on, and we've kind of master planned, like the area in the 4th Avenue, 1st Avenue, north of Kiwanda, Hasita Beach area. We've kind of master planned that so that we know where strategically we need to put pump stations, where we can gravity, where we can actually do some directional bores to get through some of these dunal areas so that we can have and achieve gravity without having to go the extra depth. So there's some technology advances, especially with directional boring, that you can do those and maintain your grade. It's difficult in the sand because they basically lose their traction, and the drilling head can wander a little bit. But we've had some success doing that. We did that at between 12th and 13th in the Oak Street corridor area. So big mound, if you're on 12th Street and you look up that big mound, that would be Oak Street. We did a directional bore through that.
So from Hasita Beach Road to the 35th, is that an adequate size pipe now for the near future, or is it good for a lot of expansion possibilities?
So when we did the sewer extension from the city limits at the time and took sanitary sewer pressure pipe, we took advantage of the installation of the Alaska Communication fiber optics beach landing that happened at Mears. So we installed pressure sewer pipes. There's actually two of them until you get to Hasita Beach Road, and then there's just the one larger one that goes back to the pump station. But we have it designed to accept all the sewer from that entire area. We can convey that back to the wastewater treatment plant on Rhododendron Drive.
Now, are there future plans to, because I know part of Hasita Beach Road is city, part of it is county. Are there plans to come down from 101 to there, or somehow eventually someday be able to access the homes along Hasita Beach Road?
Yes. And it comes down to, you know, development and density of development, one-offs. So there was a annexation off of Hasita Beach Road. So they, you know, property, it's a single house that wanted, or a single property that wanted to build. And so they annexed in to the city so they could build their house. They are on septic because they are too far away. They were like 2,000 feet away from the nearest sewer line. So economically, it did not make sense for them to extend sewer, and the city did not have the resources, a multi-million-dollar project, right, to go and extend sewer.
For one house.
Yeah. So it does take, you know, bundling of different properties in order to achieve that. We always look and we work and look for opportunities. So when we extended sewer up 101 from basically Munson Lake Road to the north to the city limits, and actually on the east side, we extended it up to almost Hasita Junction, Hasita Beach Road, knowing and working with property owners that were interested in, whether they were interested in annexing or they were interested in connecting right away. So we worked with those. We formed a reimbursement district in order, you know, when properties are ready to redevelop and connect, there's that opportunity for them, and the sewer was installed correctly at the proper depth so that they could gain access to a gravity sewer line.
Well, I know with our particular property there, I mean, if we were on water and sewer, we could actually build a second home on our 3 acres, but we can't because we're on septic and it won't accept any more than what we got there. So,
eventually, as you know, as properties continue to annex and grow, it's a multi-million dollar project to sewer the 4th Avenue and 1st right. Avenue areas.
So you'd have to get a reimbursement district large enough to cover a significant amount of the
cost. Or having a development. So there's been talk about a development off of 4th Avenue. They annexed into the city. They just haven't moved forward with the development. And it's a fairly large for Florence. I want to say it's in the neighborhood of 20 to 30 lots. They would need to do the infrastructure and get basically the infrastructure back to First Avenue. And there's some different options. And that's one of the reasons why we went and looked at that whole area to see what makes sense for sewerage in that area. Mm-hmm. Does it make sense, you know, to put in a pump station? Does it make sense to get gravity and get it back to First Avenue, which makes a whole lot of sense? Because we know that on First Avenue, and we've been allowing individuals to tie in and get to the pressure sewer line, and they're paying part of their fees for that connection is paying for a gravity sewer line that would eventually go in on First, that we get gravity drainage back to that sewer pump station. So we don't have all these little pump stations all over the place. We don't want that, mm-hmm. and the property owners don't want it. Right. So eventually we would have gravity sewer out in that area.
All right, enough on sewage. Let's talk to some of the other projects
sure.
that are going on here. What else is on the list of things to get done this summer?
Well, so let's go back to the Road and Drive realignment project. So some exciting things are going to be happening very soon. They will actually be paving the multi-use path from New Hope up to 35th. So that's going to be happening. And I know that people will get excited about, you know, blacktop going down and wanting to drive on things. You know, the road is not open. It will not be open until we're thinking probably 1st of August.
Which is earlier than fall,
so it's
right?
It's only this section between 35th and New Hope.
Okay.
Only that section. It'll right. become a hard closure south of New Hope because of the soil nail wall work. Mm-hmm. It's a large amount of work. So between Wild Winds and New Hope, that will be a hard closure beginning in August.
So then when that happens, then access to the Humane Society and that will come from the north side.
Come from the north, from 35th. So as I mentioned, there'll be here shortly working on paving the multi-use path, and then they'll turn around and pave from 35th back to New Hope. Once it's paved, then, of course, it's about a week later when they will do the striping. So they'll do the striping. We'll get the signage up because 35th and Rhododendron Drive will become a three-way stop. It's part of the plan. And we get all that done, and then we'll be able to open that up. But nobody will be allowed to drive on it until we get all that work done.
That's cool. That's good stuff.
And then we'll flip the traffic. So right now, you gain access to Humane Society and the transfer site via 9th Street. That will all change. Again, weather dependent. Striping is huge with weather. You can't have the dew in the morning. You got to have dry weather conditions. So we're thinking that last part of July would be a great opportunity to do that, and then first part of August being able to flip the road the way that we currently are getting access. Instead of from the south, we'll come from the north, and then that'll be that hard closure.
Right. Now what else?
So the other thing.
Not that's not enough. You're doing plenty.
The Sayusla Estuary Trail is currently out to bid by time. And we are looking at going to council for a contract award on July 15th. So bid opening, we're looking at We're looking at the bids and doing our due diligence with the anticipation that we'll be able to recommend an award for that project July 15th to City Council. And then we're hoping that that project gets off and running, say, in August and be completed by, you know, November, December.
And that's basically east of Quince Street along the riverfront there, or is that where that
Yeah, so it's a multi-faceted project with a parking lot at Spruce and 126. So where the car wash is currently, the city, actually it's Urban Renewal that owns that grassy flat area. So that'd become a parking lot, trailhead. People would be able to park there and then walk along 126 to Redwood. We would have a new sidewalk along Redwood to the estuary trail, and then the estuary trail will go down into the estuary and then come back out onto Quince. South of the event center, kind of across from the old ball field.
But that wouldn't interfere with the potential construction of the hotel?
No. Okay. No, absolutely not.
All right. Sounds like a lot. Anything else?
And then we have the pickleball expansion at Rolling Dunes. So that went through Planning Commission. We received our conditional use permit approvals on that. So we'll be moving forward with that project. Again, there'll just be I shouldn't say a lengthy project, but it's just time consuming to go and, you know, do the pickleball court expansion, put up the new fencing, remove the old picnic shelter and restrooms, and construct new. But that's a $313,000 grant-funded project, 50% of it grant-funded, and the rest of it coming from our parks.
Sounds like you got a lot of work in.
We have a lot of work, yes.
Mike Miller, thanks so much for stopping.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Matt House talks about the crisis response team.